Raleigh, North Carolina. It's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Eloise the Rat.
Eloise the Rat?
That's all I got.
That was pretty bad.
I've had a rough day.
Oh, poor Jack. But dude, come on. You got to admit, even with a rough day, this episode was amazing.
Well, to get off topic right away.
Amazing.
I watched No Country for Old Men, So it took me about 2 hours to figure out that movie. And then I get bombarded with this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? Couldn't we have a shipper episode?
No way. This episode was awesome. Blew my mind. It was great. I say it just about after every episode now that it's my favorite, but I think this one's my favorite so far this season. I thought it was just great. I had everything.
Just a quick shout out to the emailers.
Uh-huh.
Anyone who sends me an email asking me what's going on, I will hunt you down and kill you.
But
just like No Country for Old Men.
It was so good. I can't even begin to really describe it. That's where we're going to go to the recap and talk about
it's
more.
It's one of these episodes you got to watch two or three times.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it like 10 more times. It was so good. It had everything. Just a whole new feel to it. It's great when we're still in the fourth season and it still feels fresh every episode, especially this season. So,
well, this one was like out there.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. So, did you love it too, Jack? I'm hoping.
I loved it. I said, but I'm so confused.
All right, well, let's start trying to at least start.
I need a constant.
Yes, you do need a constant. Are you gonna start bleeding from your nose and die?
I'm already bleeding from my nose.
Oh wow!
My head's been hurting all day. So.
So that gives us what, about like 30 more minutes before you die?
I've been tied down in leather straps when I was watching it, so that's been it's been rough.
All right. Well, what do you say?
How about a little sympathy?
Well, what do you say we get into some Lost recap?
I say we do it.
All right. Here we go.
Lost recap.
All right, we had a brand new episode of Lost today called The Constant, what was that?
That was me screaming, yay.
Oh, that was kind of lame. All right, but this episode starts out with Desmond on a helicopter looking at the penny picture, and
yes.
Frank seems to be flying straight into the thunderclouds ahead. Desmond's like, why are you going straight into there? And Frank seems to have he has a cheat sheet from Daniel Faraday.
Right. And 40 miles north.
Yeah.
Is that 305 degrees?
I believe so.
Seven kilometers east?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wrote down.
Okay. Well,
if I'm wrong, I'm sure someone will let me know.
Well, he seems to be trying to keep on that, 30 degrees. Was that north, right?
I think so.
But so Saeed asks, why does he want to get on the ship? And Desmond says he wants answers.
Yes.
But then
I want answers.
Yeah, so then they're going into this storm, lightning flashes, and Desmond all of a sudden is flashed back in time. So,
well, he gripped the seat.
Well, yeah,
and then all of a sudden he's gripping his bed.
His bed, and
which doesn't let him get out of bed in time.
What?
He took forever to get out of bed.
Yeah. So it flashed back in time. Holy crap! It only took like 2 minutes to make us like think we're crazy. So for some reason now Desmond flashes back in time again to I guess his boot camp. When he was working for Her Majesty's Army, and he didn't get up in time, and the drill sergeant makes him start doing sit-ups, and he's talking...
Push-ups in the mud,
and then Desmond is talking to his friend about, what happened, this crazy dream, and then all of a sudden, Desmond is thrown back into the helicopter, but for some reason now, Desmond doesn't know who Saeed is...
I don't know who you are.
...or where he is, so now, for some reason... The Desmond that is now in the present time is Desmond from the past.
Yes.
And holy crap, cuts a lot.
So I felt as confused as Desmond.
Wow. Very different from Desmond's last travel back in time.
Right.
Because he was able, when he was back, he was still from the future, and then he went back into the future. But now he's in the past and Just mind blowing.
Can we just get 3 more years down the road and find out what's going on?
We cut the commercial break. We come back to Jack and Juliet and Charlotte and Miles. Jack wants answers. He wants to know why the helicopter still isn't there. And
then Daniel's going
to
tell us.
Well, yeah, and Charlotte seems to not want to tell, but Faraday seems, you know, to be a nice guy and wants to. I really like Faraday. Just for the
I love Faraday.
Or Dan. Dan McFly, as we like to call him.
I call him Danny. That's what our his good friends
but
call
him. But then he said, basically, the perception of how long you think they've been gone isn't the same as how long they have been.
Right.
And they're kind of confused, but Faraday seems to know a lot about what's going on, and he doesn't. Charlotte doesn't want him to let on to Jack and Juliet, or anybody for that matter. We then go back to the helicopter.
So that's why you think that Charlotte and Dan are husband and wife, because he's listening to her.
What do you mean?
You know, you have to listen to your wife. She said, no, you're not telling him what's going on. He goes, oh, okay.
We go back to the helicopter. Saeed's trying to keep Desmond down because Desmond's freaking out because he doesn't know where he is.
Well, he doesn't know not only where he is, but who's
with him. Yeah. The helicopter's out of the storm. It lands on the freighter ship, which is kind of a dumpy looking ship. I was expecting, you know, something a little bit nicer.
Well, Frank says, calm him down. We'll be there in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And they were.
Yeah. Then they go on land on the helicopter, and there's a crew there. Guy from Smoking Aces, another Smoking Aces right. actor on the show. We had Matthew Fox, Nestor Carbondale. And what's this guy's name? I don't remember his name, but he is in that movie. But the crew seems to be calm about Desmond's situation, like they already know what's going on. They say, oh, don't worry, you know, we'll take him to the dock. You can trust us. And Saeed seems worried, but I guess he trusts him to take Desmond.
He just didn't want to be around Desmond anymore.
He's had enough of crazy Desmond.
I've been on this island for 100 days, and now I get this Desmond acting weird. I need a break.
So then Desmond all of a sudden flashes back in time again, and Desmond is back in the boot camp, this time standing up while everyone else is doing sit-ups. Or is it push-ups now? They were doing push-ups and sit-ups.
At this point, they start out with push-ups. Mm-hmm. Then Desmond was talking, so they made him do flip around and do sit-ups. Mm-hmm. And of course, Desmond's the only one. It's his fault, and he's the only one standing up.
Not doing anything.
Not pulling his own weight.
What a slacker. But
he's making a lot of friends.
Yeah. So then they're moving some cargo, and he tells his friend that he was on a boat, and he had a photo of Penny. And then he goes to the payphone to call Penny, and a guy bumps into him and says, hey, thanks for making us do all this work, jerk face. Yeah. And he dropped.
Did he say jerk? I don't think he said jerk face.
No, but I'm just, you know, I'm translating the English into American English.
to American.
Yeah. He drops the change. The guy bumps into him. He goes down to pick up the change. And Desmond is then flash forward back to the present on the boat. And
he's like clawing at the ground.
Yeah.
The deck.
We find out the two crewmen. Is it Kimmy, I think is what he says his name? Something like that. The guy from Smoking Aces.
I think I know they're from Vegas and Florida, right?
Something like that, and then the other guy name is Omar.
Omar was the other one.
Yeah, so then the crew's helping Desmond go down to the first aid place.
Well, they weren't they last port? Their last port was at Fiji,
yes.
Right?
So they know that they're somewhere in the South Pacific, but they don't know exactly where they are in the South Pacific. But they knew their last port was Fiji.
Why tell us?
Exactly. They then throw Desmond into this medical room. And they lock him in. Desmond's freaking out. And we find an odd man over, strapped to a bed. And he says, it's happening to you too, isn't it?
Yep.
And at this point, I was like, oh, that's got to be Minkowski, because we knew that actor was going to be playing Minkowski. Right. And then we cut to commercial break. But that is the George Minkowski who's been on the phone. We come back out to Saeed on the boat. He's looking at Frank and I think it's Kimmy. I'm not sure. Starts with a K, arguing, and Frank comes down, and Frank says, you know, you got to trust me. I am on your side, but they're not even telling me what's going on. So then Saeed says, you know, I want the phone. He says, well, I'll give you the phone if you give me your weapon.
Now, doesn't that seem odd that Saeed would give him his weapon?
Well, Saeed wants to get the phone to contact Jack and all of them.
I understand, but Jack can't help him?
Hmm?
On that freighter, Jack can't help him. He's still on the island.
Well, I know, but I think maybe Saeed felt...
A good soldier never gives up his weapon.
I understand that, but in the relationship to Saeed is still being loyal to the people on the island and trying to make sure that everyone knows what's going on. I agree with his move.
That doesn't make it's the same move that he did with the boat.
No, because
leaving son in charge. Here, son, you watch the boat while we go.
No, Jen and I go over here. I think he honestly trusts Frank. And I agree with him, getting the phone to call.
So he doesn't trust anybody.
Getting the phone to call Jack and Co. still on the beach, that they're still working together. Right. So then he says, don't try and call Baghdad or anything like that. These phones only call each other. So that's a new fact.
Right.
So then Saeed calls Jack. Jack's finally relieved because he hears from Saeed. And he tells him about Desmond's situation. And then Faraday all of a sudden gets kind of enlightened and excited. And he says, you know, has your friends been exposed to high levels of radiation or electromagnetism?
And we know he has.
And we know he has from when he turned the key in the hatch. Now, right. I was surprised Jack didn't know about this. Granted, he wasn't there when Desmond turned the key and the hatch imploded, but he knew it happened. And he must have known that Desmond was there, right?
Yeah, but remember, they don't talk on this island.
I guess not, but I figured
no one. How long was it till Kate finally told him about the medical hatch?
Yeah, I understand that, but wouldn't Jack notice a huge gaping hole where the hatch used to be and ask maybe a couple questions?
Well, maybe he didn't see it because Jack had a hood over his head.
Mm-hmm.
He was also on the other side of the island for a while, or on another island.
Well, yeah.
Maybe he hasn't been by the... He's only been back in that area for a while, so maybe he didn't see it.
I don't know. I guess that could be an explanation.
Maybe it was covered up somehow. Maybe a bunch of trees fell in there or something. I don't know.
We then go to back to Desmond and Minkowski. Minkowski wakes up and he says, I was just on a Ferris wheel. Do you think Minkowski is back when he was a child, maybe?
I think so.
But then this doctor comes in. He calls him Ray, sticks a needle into poor Minkowski, and then he falls back asleep. He starts to check Desmond, looking at his eyes. And Desmond then goes back into the past. And Desmond is now at the phone. He goes back to the phone. He calls Penny. And Penny doesn't seem to really want to have anything to do with him.
No.
So this must
be... Would you?
No. This must be relatively close to when he dumped her and went to the army.
Right. Exactly.
But he says, you know, I'm confused. I want to talk to you. And she basically doesn't want to have anything to do with him and hangs up the phone.
Yeah.
Then Desmond's actually out of that, and Saeed and Frank get Faraday to talk to Desmond. They come in with the phone, and Faraday then talks to Desmond. We find out that Desmond's back in 1996, and tells him to go to Oxford Physics Department and find me from the past.
Exactly.
Now, this is getting crazy. Find Faraday in the past to help him in the present. This is going all over the place.
It's like Back to the Future.
It did remind me a lot of Back to the Future, like when McFly, funny enough, had to get back to the Doc Brown in 1955 to get him back to 1985, but instead he went to 1885. So I kind of like that effect. But Faraday starts looking for his journal. He says he needs to find something... And then
he needs to find his notes.
He needs to find his notes, exactly. And then he gets back to Desmond, and he then tells him, you know, you need to tell me to set the machine to 2.342 and oscillate it at 11. And then if I say that if they can't work that way, tell him I know about Eloise.
Yes.
And then he writes this down on his hand, but then he gets flashbacked again, and Desmond's hand is clean.
Right.
Kind of stinks about the whole time travel in your conscious thing. You don't get to write on your hands and keep notes.
That's horrible.
It is horrible, isn't it?
Just sad.
So he doesn't have any notes, but he does still go to Oxford, and Faraday's there with a pretty gnarly, cool hairdo right there.
I thought it was the 60s there for a while.
Well, it's a flashback, so obviously the hair has to be longer in a flashback.
He's shorter in a flashback or longer. He still had his beard, though.
It was a pretty sweet beard.
Yeah.
but he goes there, and he tells me, you know, he's from the future, and Faraday says, ha, 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 who put you up to this? Who's trying to pull a prank on me?
My colleagues are pulling... So obviously, he's probably the butt of a lot of jokes.
Yeah, he's kind of...
He's probably picked on a lot. He's probably like... Biff is probably picking on him. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, yeah. He does seem to be like the kind of person that nobody's really believing him on stuff.
Right.
But then he convinces him when he starts talking about the machine and what to set it to, and then he finally says, I know about Eloise. And Faraday then takes Desmond into his study. There's a rat maze there, and there's a big kind of contraption. It looks like one of those x-ray machines from a dentist when they put up to your face, but just like slightly modified. But then he picks up little Eloise, and he says, this is Eloise, the little rat. His name of the rat.
And I thought it was going to be a girl.
Actually, I did too. I thought it maybe like been his sister or something that died that only he would know about, but it ended up being the rat. And then he puts on like one of those lead like vests or whatever those are for. And he says, well, don't I need one of those too? He's like, no, I need it because I'm exposed to this a lot. And he says, why don't you have one for your head? And he just kind of shakes at him. So maybe is that why Faraday seems to have some like brain degenerative problem with his memory and
that
stuff
could
like
be, that.
That
could be it.
He uses it and he puts this little ray thing or this radiation device and it kind of zaps the rat in the maze. And
it looked like nothing happened.
Yeah, exactly. It's just there. But then he opened up the little maze and then the rat goes exactly through the maze and ends up at the end
without
of the
Without a
maze.
Hitch.
Exactly.
Without a hitch.
Yeah. And, you know, Faraday is totally ecstatic and Desmond's like, I don't get it. What's
You're wasting
deal?
My time, brother.
Yeah. But then Faraday says, I just built this maze this morning, and I'm not going to tell this rat how to do this for another hour.
Yeah, well, not tell it, but he's gonna you can't tell a rat to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, he says, it works. But Desmond goes, what, did you send it back in time? But he says, no, I'm not sending her, but her conscious.
Right.
So maybe that helps describe it more that Desmond didn't go back in time in his episode last season, but his conscious did, which makes more sense, I think. So it's all in the conscious mind. We then he comes back out of his flashback and truly back. And it's Desmond and Saeed. And Kimmy breaks in, takes the phone, and locks them in. And then George Minkowski then starts to talk, saying who he is. He was like head of the communications. And he kept answering the phone when he wasn't supposed to answer when this certain flash came in and said that he was actually talking to Penelope Widmore.
Right.
Cut to commercial break. So what do you think maybe that had anything to do with him going crazy? Or do you think it was the fact that he did actually go attempt to go to the island?
I think it was the attempt to go to the island or something. I don't know.
All right.
Or maybe he's been on the island before.
Possibly. We then go back into Desmond's flashback, and he's still in Faraday's study, and Faraday tells him he's been out for 75 minutes, and Desmond tells him he was on the boat for 5 minutes.
Right.
So then that's when Faraday says that his conscious is having a tough time jumping back and forth, and as he's telling him this, Desmond looks and Eloise is dead. And
Danny doesn't seem to care.
No, well, I guess he doesn't really care about Eloise. That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But then Faraday says that he couldn't handle the back and forth, and maybe the brain just fried. And Desmond says, well, is this going to happen to me? And he says, you need to find a constant. You don't have an anchor from the past and the future. You need to find that constant, or you may end up like Eloise. So... pretty
crazy. Didn't he slam him up against a chalkboard?
Well, yeah, to find out, is this going to happen to me?
Yeah.
But yeah, so needs to find the constant. So there we go. There we get the title of the episode. Jack, who's your constant?
A tough one. I'll say probably my wife.
Not me. Thanks, jerk face.
No, not you.
Great. Well, you know what? I'm not going to help you if you get thrown back in time or something.
I don't want your help. I'd rather have help from the rat.
We then go back. Desmond is then thrown back into the future, and he says that he needs to talk to Penny, his constant. Minkowski says that he needs to get to the communication room. It was totally trash, but of course Saeed's there.
Now, do you think that Minkowski maybe is the one that destroyed that room?
That's what I think. I think when...
maybe he was just going back and forth and maybe he just destroyed it?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think Minkowski probably trashed it up. That's why they have him locked up, probably. Or he was just freaking out bad like Desmond. And especially if he was going back to his childhood, like if he was on a Ferris wheel. I mean, we don't know if it was a childhood or not, but that's a pretty big leap, you know, compared to Desmond, who was only 8 years. One of the numbers. But so Minkowski says, you need to get to the communication room to call her. And he says, but we need to, so then they go, how do you get there? We need to go through the door. Well, the door is locked, but now the door is open. And Minkowski says, you must have a friend here. Now, is now, the friend the either Frank friend? Or is it Michael who's on the boat, which a lot of people think? Definitely.
Now, why would Michael stay, though? He's probably still ashamed that he shot two people and killed them.
Well, we don't know his story. We don't know if maybe he had a choice to leave or stay.
Yeah.
Because remember, Ben told him he'll find rescue, but maybe he ran into that boat and they took him there. But then again, if Michael is Ben's man on the boat, and if Saeed would work for Ben too, Ben obviously did some kind of severe convincing.
Right.
We then go back to Desmond, who was walking away the last time, and he wakes up back in this little stairwell. And then we go into an auction house where they are bidding on a journal from the Black Rock.
Yes.
The boat that
we all
thought
was pretty cool.
Yeah. It said it was owned by the Hansel family. Very interesting. And it's the only surviving piece from the Black Rock, which was lost at sea, which we know was on the island.
Didn't it set sail May of 1845?
I think something like that. And
that's what I wrote down. I could be wrong.
They say the only people that knew the contents of this journal is the family that owned it. And who would be making a strong bid to purchase that journal?
Me?
No, Mr. Whitmore.
Yes.
Mr. Whitmore.
What a coincidence. Now, why would he want it?
Exactly. Why would he want to know the contents of that journal? The conspiracy thickens. But
I don't know.
His little panel number is 755. Don't know if that's important or not. And he bids £350,000.
I thought it was 380,000.
Or 380? 300 something thousand pounds.
I wrote 380,000.
Okay. But
one of us is going
to
be wrong.
Yeah, Desmond goes and he tries to get to him, but the little security guy holds him. But Whitmore seems a bit nicer than usual, even though he's still a jerk.
Yeah.
Tells him, decides to talk to Desmond in the bathroom.
Follow me to the bathroom.
Well, that's where men do their business.
In the bathroom. I thought it was kind of weird. Desmond had that strange look on his face when they came back. It's like, you know, you think he'd be looking around whistling or something like that, but just kind of staring.
But he asks Whitmore to tell him where Penny is, and Whitmore doesn't seem too like, well, no, I'm not going to tell you where he is or she is.
Why do you hate me?
Yeah, and he goes, you know, why do you hate me? And then he gives Desmond her address, and I said, I'll let her tell you herself. And then he leaves the water running with the sink.
He told him he was a coward.
Yeah, which is typical speak with Whitmore and Desmond.
Yeah.
But he leaves the water running, and he leaves the plunger up, right? To make it fill. Why did you think he did that?
I guess he doesn't care about the water shortage.
Well, not so much that, but why do you think he did that and left it that way and left the water running?
Maybe that would trigger Desmond's go back. I don't know. I'll have to watch it again. At this point, I don't have an answer.
Well, that's the thing, though, is Whitmore seemed very, I don't know, like he knew what was going on. You know what
right.
I mean?
He felt like it, even if Desmond went to Penny was going to say, later, I don't want to be around you.
Yeah, and
He was confident Penny was not going to take him back.
But here's the thing, though. Was he confident, or was he actually helping his daughter? Because for me, the way he was talking, it seemed like he knew what was going on. Why would he leave the water running?
I don't know.
Was he trying to trigger Desmond or something like that? It's just
that's
feel
what I'm thinking. I that's why I thought maybe he was trying to trigger Desmond.
Exactly. So
there's a reason why he left the water running.
Exactly. And I feel Whitmore for some reason knows what's going on with Desmond. Just like he's trying to get this journal, Whitmore, and this has been a theory before, is definitely, I think, connected to the island or whatever is going on.
Yeah, he knows what's going on.
Well, maybe not knows what's going on, but he's definitely a main character, and I think this episode set that up really nicely for the first time in at least in my opinion anyway. We then come back out of his flashback, and we go to Minkowski. He says, you know, it's going to get harder. It just keeps getting harder and harder each time, and it happens quick. But he says Minkowski, and what was his friend's name? Was it Daniel or something like that?
I didn't write it down.
Okay, says that they wanted to go to the island. They were bored. But then his friend went crazy, so then they came back. And they get to the communication room, and Minkowski passes out again. And but this whole time Minkowski seems to have blood dripping out of his nose. So maybe
Before they left, he had blood. Yeah, exactly. Coming out of his nose.
So the future doesn't look too bright for poor Minkowski.
No.
Then Said starts to work on fixing everything or the equipment, and he does his toggle shake. It. You know, like he did with the helicopter.
Exactly, and right away it worked.
But
he's like you know who we should call him? He's the Fonz.
The Fonz. He's, hey.
The Fonz. He just hits it. Hey. We're gonna rock this town.
But Desmond sees the calendar, and we see it says 2004.
Right.
And Said says it's almost Christmas, and he notices the blood on Desmond's nose. Now, and we find out later it's Christmas Eve 2004. So if they crashed on the island on September 22nd, 2004, that makes it what, like 94, 95, 96 days?
Something like that.
So
I didn't do the math.
That means the time difference on the island compared to the real world isn't like skewed by 30. Minutes and everything, unless that can only equate for a couple days, but it's not really off by that much.
I don't know, unless that freighter is being affected by time too. I don't know,
but to me it seems the freighter's outside of whatever the properties of the island are, like how they have to, you would, had to go you through would that think storm. So, but
you would think so, but next week they're going to confuse us again, so we don't know.
So unless
we got to be one step ahead of them.
Well, so unless the ship itself is still in the island's time, which doesn't seem like it, if the helicopter went out and it went through this like time warp,
right.
It seems that the days aren't that far off because
exactly
it kind of coincides with how long they've been on the island, how long they feel. Even though Said said he didn't feel like it's been that long or didn't realize it. But as far as Jack saying it's almost been 100 days since I've last seen a Red Sox game, it kind of plays into effect.
I would think if you're on an island, too, you wouldn't keep, unless you have someone marking the time, you would lose track of time.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know 100 days. So 100 days was probably just a guess or something.
Mm-hmm. So it's a rough estimate, but that also kind of runs the rough estimate of 95 days from September 22nd to December 24th. So that means like it's not like a huge differential between the days, you know what I mean?
Right. I know what you're saying.
Okay. But
I got you.
Then Minkowski has a brain hemorrhage and dies.
Yeah.
But unless he is patchy, he come back to life when you bleed through the nose and out the ears. And eyes.
Exactly. He'll be fine next week. He's just kidding.
I'm surprised they killed off Minkowski that fast. I was enjoying his character, and I thought we maybe would have gotten a little bit more. Do you think he's dead?
I think he's dead.
Yeah, I think he's dead, too.
But I've been wrong before.
We cut the commercial break. We come back. We're with Desmond in the running water. He wakes up. He gets the little card with the address on it. He goes out to 423.
Well, he was smart enough to shut off the water.
Yes, save, you know, conserve. He goes to 423 Cheyenne. Was it Walk or something?
Welk. I thought it was Welk.
Or like
I can't read my writing, but I think it's
Welk, something like that. But 423, two of the numbers, 4 and 23.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I mentioned it before, the coordinates was what, 2.4 or 2.342 is also the numbers.
Right.
A lot of numbers in today's episode.
I wonder if the numbers, you know what they add up to?
They add up to 108.
Yes.
But then we go to, he goes and talks to Penny. Penny sees him, and you can tell Penny is still upset, and she doesn't want anything to do with him, but he asks her for her number. He says, I'm going to call you in 8 years.
Because when he called he called her before, and the number was disconnected.
Exactly, and that's why he went to Widmore.
Constance had changed her number.
But he asked her for her number, and he says, you know, December 24th, 2004, in 8 years, I will call you. Can you please give me your number? She says, if I give you my number, will you leave? And then She does. It's 794-60893.
Now, how many people are thinking he just gave her? She just gave him a fake number to get rid of him.
Not me, because he asked, he begged, he said, if you have any faith in us and our future and everything like that, just please give me your number. And I think she still, I mean, even there, you can tell she still does love him. She's just been hurt really bad by him.
Now, wouldn't it be funny if he called it was a local pizza place?
That would have been awful, but yes, that would have been funny. She kicks him out, but he says, you need to keep this number for 8 years. You know, you need to have this number.
Can't change it.
We then go back
I think he's being pretty demanding for a guy that has dumped her.
I know, but I guess he's very convincing.
Let's face it, in the real world, that ain't happening.
We then go to Saeed, and Desmond, he comes back, and he has the number still in his mind, and he tells Saeed, and once again, Saeed sets up the phone with the battery, but it seems whenever Saeed fixes a phone or some kind of transceiver device, there's only like 10 seconds of battery life left.
That's a rule of thumb for TV.
I know. Can we get a fully charged battery?
No. No, it doesn't work that way.
So then Desmond starts to call Penny. The phone's ringing, and then...
Okay, this is what kills me.
Okay.
This is my complaint for the episode. Maybe someone can help me out.
Okay.
She just talked to Charlie, a couple days ago, 2 or 3 days ago?
Somewhere around then.
All right, so she knows that this is probably going to happen, that she knows Desmond's alive, and she's... Why'd it take her like 18 rings before she got to the phone?
Well, we don't know. Like, have you ever, like, our cell phones, it'll click like a bunch sometimes to actually
it was ringing.
No, that it was like kind of like a, so we don't know if that was like the signal trying to get out and then actually finally connect to whatever service she uses.
Okay, all right.
So remember, looks like a pretty primitive phone system, or a system that's not like a normal phone you just pick up and call somebody.
Okay. I just thought it took her a long time to get to the phone.
So then Desmond and gets a hold of Penny. It's Christmas Eve 2004. This was quite a touching scene.
Pretty Christmas tree.
They finally get to talk to each other again, and Desmond says she knows about the island. When she talked to Charlie... She knew that he was still alive. And then Desmond says that, I love you, Penny. I've always loved you. And then she says she loves you too. And that they're going
to... I had to get out of hanky.
It was a nice, warm, lovey, touchy-feely, great scene.
Right.
And they say, you know, she says she'll come and find him. And then the battery dies. And,
of course.
I think that was just an amazing scene. It was cutting back and forth between Desmond being in the past and then in the present.
Right.
But Saeed apologizes for the battery dying. But Desmond said it was enough and thanks Saeed. And then, but do you think Desmond's conscious is still in the past? Because the way he thanked Saeed, it wasn't like, oh, I'm back to where I was before. It's just like he was accepting the fact that he was in
the accepting the fact that he was, I think he realized who Saeed was. I think he was back.
I don't think he was
back. I think he was just emotional because he's finally contacted his love. He hasn't... How long has it been since he's... 3 years?
3 years,
since he last spoke to her? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But, I mean...
Love of his life, he's finally got a chance to speak to her. He's a little emotional.
Yeah, but I feel like... just so his actions seemed like maybe he's still not completely back yet, to me.
I say he's completely back.
Completely
he just
back?
Was emotional. Okay. I think it was just the emotional... Just he was drained.
Okay, all right.
You travel back and forth in time.
Well, I know.
It's going to put some wear and tear on your mind.
Okay, all right. But I'm just saying, like, is his mind fully back in the present is what I'm saying.
I think it's fully back in the present. I think he just was drained from the, you know, like I said, after 3 years, I finally get to talk to my love Penny. She knows I'm alive.
That is true.
I've got to hear her voice. I mean, he's just...
Okay, all right.
And he's not going to hug Saeed, so it's like, you know.
All right. We then go to Faraday, who is kind of off on the island by himself. He's reading through his notes, and he comes to a page, and it says, Desmond Hume will be my constant.
Right.
So that's, and then it kind of cuts away from Lost. What do you think about that? Is that setting up something in the future? Is something going to happen to Faraday where he's going to have a similar Desmond?
I would say it has to, or something. It has to be that.
Yeah, I don't think it's just there for saying, oh, he's going to be his constant one day. I think it's setting up a soon-to-happen event.
Right.
And a great ending just an awesome episode. I think this is my favorite so far this season. Just really
good. Favorite?
Yeah, I really liked it. I really like Desmond's story. I really like the Desmond and Penny love story. I think it's the best love story on the island, quite honestly.
Well, I think the or Desmond in the show, episodes anyway. Always are the ones where you afterwards you go, what?
Well, yeah, Desmond's story is really interesting, and I really love this episode. I really did. It was mind blowing, but I didn't mind my mind being just completely
blown away.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just a great episode, and kudos to the writers. And I can't wait to see next week.
Great job.
Yeah. What did you think?
Like we said, you said earlier, and we've been saying for a couple of weeks now, fourth season, and we're still going. It's still as fresh as it was in the first season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I love it. Each episode is fresh and new with a different angle, and it's just been awesome. So that's what we thought about the episode. Jack, what do you say we get into what you guys thought about the episode?
I say we do it, sir.
All right, here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time. Are you ready, Jack?
I am so ready.
We got a lot of. I think we already have like 82 calls or something like that.
Yeah, and the West Coast has not even watched the episode yet.
I know.
It's almost scary. And the thing I like best about the calls?
What?
Is there some really short? Oh my gosh, greatest episode ever. I got to go back and watch it again.
Yeah, I think a lot of people's minds were blown. It may take a while for like the solid theories and 2-minute phone calls to really start coming in later.
Well, you're going to have to watch them. Like we said, you're going to have to watch this episode again, but I almost wish it was a bad episode.
Why?
Because I was already behind on the emails, and now I'm on it's already on the second page.
Oh,
like
I'm
said,
sorry,
the West
Jack.
Coast has not even seen the episode yet.
All right. Well, what do you say we get into the first set of calls here? We got Steven, Chasey, Sheen, Alex, and Nick.
I say we do it.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Steven from Colorado. I just got finished watching tonight's episode, The Constant, and I have a theory for you. When Desmond loses his memory when he's in the helicopter during the thunderstorm, my theory is that the island took his whole memory away. Since it gave him the ability to see in the future after the hack exploded, once he left, it just wiped his memory away clean. Kind of like if Locke left, he would become crippled again, and if Rose left, her cancer would come back. So my theory basically is, in shorthand, that Desmond's memory got wiped clean because the island gave him the ability to see in the future, and he left the island, so the island took it all away. And that's my theory of the week, and love the podcast. All right, see you guys later.
Wow. Hey, guys. It's Chasey Sheen. What an episode. But I got to say, I think it's all finally like working out with the whole theory that Widmore had been in cahoots with Hanzo and was trying to find this island, as you can see from that auction, bidding on Black Rock things. And he's using Penny's story as a whole ruse. She used him to find out about the island, and he's using her to get his plan done, whatever that is. I don't know. I'm excited to find out. Anyway, guys, I want you to know that you're my constant, just in case. So see you guys.
Hi, Jane Jack. This is Alex calling from Brockton, Massachusetts. And I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep tonight thinking about this episode. Wow. But there was this one thing I noticed, and I'm not sure if this was the case, but at the auction, it looked like Ben may have been sitting in the last row. And I was wondering if you guys saw that, or if I'm seeing things, because my mind is just blown away by this episode. All right, thanks for the show, guys. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack, it's Nick in Philadelphia. I'm calling to comment on this week's Lost episode, The Constant. Thought it was a great episode. Just had one insight. It seems like maybe Dan McFly has traveled through time in his history at some point and has lost some of his memory. That's probably why he's having trouble remembering things, and it may be why when he was in that room with his wife or caregiver, whoever that woman was, he was crying and didn't know why he was so upset by the footage of the plane crash. Obviously, he had some memory of that event that upset him, but that he couldn't quite remember. And I also liked how Desmond had to go back in time and find 1996 Daniel Faraday kind of like a throwback to Back to the Future when Marty McFly had to go back and find 1955 Emmett Brown to send him through time, 1.21 gigawatts. So I thought that was cool. Great episode. Can't wait to hear you guys' comments. Bye.
All right. Thank you for those calls. First up, we had Steven. Said the island took away his memory, all of his powers. Desmond, anyway, his powers to look into the future. A lot like maybe if Locke left, he would lose his ability to walk, and Rose would get her cancer back. What do you think about that, Jack?
I like it. That has a lot. That could have a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Could something have to do with that? That wasn't Desmond taking that medicine. Did we ever get a clear explanation what that medicine was?
No, we didn't actually. I mean, he said it didn't really matter when he did come back at the end of season two, but maybe it did. You know,
maybe that's a reason why he wasn't going back in time then.
Maybe.
That's
true.
But I don't know.
I think really what it has to do is really his stimulus to the electromagnetism that Faraday was talking about when he turned the key.
It has to be something with that medicine.
And maybe that's what it was, is because they were so close to the electromagnets. Maybe that's what that medicine was to keep them from like tripping out.
Traveling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if they did trip out and they left, they could be gone for and not be able to press that.
Well, they would die. That would basically be the sickness that everyone's talking about.
They would die, and they wouldn't be able to press, 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
So the more and more I think about it, it really does seem like that is the sickness.
Yep.
Next up, Chase the Ace Sheen. Widmore is definitely in on it. Like we said earlier, I think Widmore is. I agree with him. Using his dodge.
I agree.
Next up.
That's a great theory.
Yeah. Alex, Ben is sitting in the last row of the auction house. I've looked at it, and it looks a lot like Ben, but it's not Michael Emerson. May just kind of look like him.
I didn't even see that. I'd have to go back and watch. Well, I'm going to watch it again, so.
Yeah.
That would be cool. That would be cool if it was him.
It would be. It would be very cool, but I don't think so. Okay. Next up, Nick thinks it seems like Dan McFly has traveled through time before, and maybe the memories. Maybe the reason why he was crying during the plane crash is because of the memories that he was having from the future.
And he couldn't understand it. He was kind of couldn't grip it.
Yeah, or
he said, "I don't know why I'm crying."
Exactly.
Maybe it was something stuck in the back of his, memory, but he couldn't quite.
Well,
in
his conscious, like his future conscious.
Well, maybe that's what he has problems with, that because he was doing that card. Trying to memorize the cards with Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Maybe it has something to do with that. I don't know.
But I still think the whole thing with Charlotte, the card thing, is because it's because he fried his mind or something. Because remember, they made a good point to show that he was protecting his body and not his head. So I think he may have some kind of degenerative thing with his brain. That's, what I think. Anyway. All right. So those are those calls. Jack, do you have anything else you'd like to say about them?
No.
All right. Let's get to the next set here from Kevin. John Doe. I think he said his name at the end of it, but I couldn't really make it out. Jessica from Wisconsin and Adam from Ohio. What do you say we get into those
Adam's
now?
Adam's ribs. Oh, that's Ohio. I'm sorry.
Adam's is from Chicago. Adam's
from Chicago. Yeah, my bad.
All right. You ready, Jack?
I jumped the gun.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, Jane Jack. This is Kevin from Connecticut. I think that was the best episode I've ever seen on TV, let alone from Lost. It was an incredible episode. I think that the sickness that they were talking about earlier in the series has to do with this kind of time-switching radiation thing, whatever you want to call it. Rousseau said that her team went crazy, and that's basically what was happening to Desmond, and I think her constant was Alex, and that's how she was able to survive. So, great episode. Look forward to hearing your podcast. Bye.
Daniel McFly. More like Getty Lee, Tommy the Duck. See ya.
Hey, G and Jack. This is Jessica from Wisconsin. I just got done watching the episode. Wow. Oh, my gosh. But I have a theory. I think that the journal is actually Richard's, because I think that Richard's been there since the dawn of time with the Black Rock, and I bet you that the journal is his. That's all. Keep up the great work on the show. And I can't wait to hear your theories and thoughts. Bye.
Hey, Jan Jack. This is Adam from Ohio. And One thing that I found really interesting about this episode is seems like it's the first episode ever to not have any flashbacks or flash forwards, because if you think about it, to Desmond, it was a very linear story. But also, I think whoever Ben's man on the boat is the one who left the door open for them to the sick bay. And, you know, just want to see what you guys thought about that. And keep up the great work. Bye.
All right. Thank you for those calls. First up, Kevin thinks Rousseau's team went crazy, like Rosinski.
I think it was Rousseau that went crazy.
I don't know. Well, he thinks that her constant was Alex.
Hey, do you think that Danielle could be on the boat?
No, I don't think that's possible.
I don't know, honestly.
Who knows?
Maybe she's traveling in time. Maybe she's a time traveler.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't trust her. We haven't seen her in the last couple of weeks. Where's she at?
It's like any of the characters. They disappear for a while because their story's not being told.
Yeah, but she always seems to disappear. There's something to her.
Poor Daniel.
You can't trust her. You can't trust her. We never did have that debate. We have to do that.
Yeah, we definitely have to. John Doe, forget Dan McFly, Getty Lee. That is so funny.
Take off to the Great White North.
Today's Tom Sawyer, he's high on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he hit those high notes.
Yeah, I think he could.
So in the
Getty Lee is actually Dan McFly.
In the present, he's Dan McFly. In the past, he's Getty Lee. All right.
I think I like him better as Getty Lee. I don't know.
Or call him Getty Faraday.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Jessica from Wisconsin thinks that the BlackRock Journal is Richard Alpert's. I like that thought. And we've had a lot of other calls like that, too.
Well, Ben first saw him as a kid, he looked like he was in a pirate outfit, didn't he? He looked like a sailing
yeah,
pirate
yeah, like
outfit.
From, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that has to be,
I mean,
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. I think it's a really cool theory and thought. And last but not least, Adam from Ohio, he's pointing out that, was this like the first time we had one continuous, like, storyline? Because we have flashbacks and flash forwards, even if they're like really recent flashbacks. But no, this one kind of had like one constant story where he was traveling through. But did you think Desmond's last one where he went back in time, did that really count as one linear storyline? Or was that
I
just...
I thought people back then were saying that was the first time. But I guess he did have... Well, I don't know.
But this one seemed more the back and forth was a constant storyline.
Right. It had something to do. It was the same story. Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I think both of those Desmond episodes where he's going back in time. But this one definitely seemed to have like one constant. But yeah, it was definitely great and a new twist that I loved a lot.
Yeah. It was definitely a great episode.
So yeah. Anything else? We had
an email from ChargerFan93. Mm-hmm. He thinks that just stuck out in my head.
Yeah.
He thinks that Charles Widmore
mm-hmm.
is a time traveler too, and he thinks he will guide Desmond through his time travel dilemma.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
I don't know.
Would be a cool twist.
It seems like Widmore knows something when he was talking to Desmond.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because he's a time traveler, but I think it's because he kind of knows a lot about what's going on.
Well, it's
anyways.
Like Chase Ace Sheen said. He goes, maybe he was using Desmond to get the Penny to find the island.
You mean Penny to find the island?
Yeah, right. Well, he was getting through, you know.
Using both of them, really, yeah.
Using both of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm going to have to go watch it again. This show is really
it's
blowing me away today.
Well, speaking of theories and whatnot, Jack, are you ready for your crackpot theory of the week?
I'm sure it'll be as good as today's episode.
Really? That's a bold claim. You've been hitting them pretty good lately, but I don't know. I don't know about this one.
Well, I'm still... Yeah, okay. It's gonna be weak. It'll probably be as good as this episode was. This crackpot theory will be as bad.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
This episode was great, right?
Yes.
This crackpot theory will be bad.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
It was a great episode, bad crackpot theory.
Okay. All right. Well, let me get the drum set ready. Here we go.
Okay. My crackpot theory
uh-huh.
is that George Mikowski and Rosinski are one and the same. They're the same guy.
Same guy. Well, how's that possible when Rosinski shot himself in the head?
Oh, we don't know if he shot himself in the head. That was Kelvin. We know Kelvin's a liar.
I don't know.
It's all I got from this week. It's all I got. But I will say, I am adding to my theory, because people have been saying that from last week that Claire, that the adoption was fake. Remember that but she didn't know that. But also, remember there's Thomas out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know, and Thomas is the biological father.
Mm-hmm.
He would have the right to take Aaron. Now, if Aaron is special, and Claire is told he's special and he needs to be kept away from certain people, maybe she's told that Thomas is a bad person or something like that. The secret is, that's the main part of the theory last week. The secret was they're trying to keep Aaron's identity secret.
Okay.
And that's
right.
Why Kate, well, Claire's dead. She's gone.
Okay.
She's history.
Well, this is about this crackpot theory of the week. Do you have anything like to support your Rosinski thing, or just like saying it?
The names sounded similar, so I figured he was going back. And he said he was on the island one time.
He was going to the island, yeah.
He was going to the island, so I think he was on the island at one time.
Okay. All right.
So
it's all right. Yeah.
Well, it's weak, but what are you going to do? It can't all be gold.
All right, okay, all right.
Get off my back.
So your crackpot theory is?
Rosinski and Mikowski are the same guy.
Okay, and?
Yeah, I'm sticking to it.
Okay. All right, Jack, you ready to close out this show?
I am so ready.
All right, here we go. All right, guys, that is our show for this Friday.
Yeah.
If you'd like to give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Call anytime. Isn't it Thursday show?
Well, no, this is Friday morning when this goes up. It's already Friday right now.
Oh, that's right. I'm lost. No pun intended.
Once again, it's 206-309-0311.
Call anytime.
With your questions. Darn it, I did it again.
It's been a rough day. My internet wasn't working all day. It's not my fault.
Questions, comments, and or theories.
Theories.
Also, you can send us an email at lostpodcast@gmail.com. Let's go to lostpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can check out our website at jandjack.com with all important information related to the show. Also, working with Sam on a new t-shirt design, and I really like the new one. I think it's pretty sweet.
It's a picture of me. It's just a shot of me.
So all the ladies are going to go crazy, right, Jack?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I did ask for hair in the. Can we give me a little bit of hair? Just a little.
Well, I'd just be lying. That'd be like false advertising or something.
No, it's on today's episode. I went back in time.
Oh, okay. So much
it's
like
back in time. So it's a theme. It's a theme shirt.
Okay. So you're gonna have like Geddy Lee hair.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else you'd like to say, Jack?
Yeah, we're talking about the Marathon Podcast. We'll release one of the we said we had some people out there. Jorge Garcia has agreed to join us.
Ooh, Jorge Garcia, think, very nice.
I think on March 15th he'll be available from about 6 or 7 East Coast time. And we're going to be discussing the coolest, toughest podcast people out there. That's right, we're not doing that because you didn't want to do that because you wouldn't get a vote. So no. It's the toughest, coolest guys in movies.
Okay, so all right.
That's cool. Top 10 choices on that. I think that's what we decided to do. So definitely Jorge Garcia is going to do it. And I think we decided around 6 or 7 at night, East Coast time.
It's about 9 o'clock p.m. Right?
Huh? No. No,
7 to 9 or 6 to 9 or?
Yeah, something like that. A couple hours.
Okay.
If he wants to do the whole show, he can. We're going to have Ryan and Jen probably about midnight our time. We haven't officially... Ryan Jen from the transmission. Ralph will be from Dharma Lars will be in the early morning hours. He's got a wedding to do first, so after that we're doing the top 40 movie picks of all time. I think Ryan and Jen's gonna be some Lost talk, maybe some pulp culture talk, and other things. Still working on some other guests, but once we get it all down, we'll have, like I said, we're starting off with the Merry Man podcast from
Jimmy from Comic News Insider as well.
Oh, yes, that's right. And we haven't worked out a time for him yet, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, once we get it all... Like I said, I should have everything down, I'm hoping, by next weekend.
Okay.
So once I get it all down, you'll have the schedule. You'll know what's going on.
Sweet. Very awesome.
Should be fun. good time doing for autism. Once again, I'll give you the information on Monday. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, all right.
For sentence and all this stuff. It's late.
All right. Well, on that note, see you guys next Monday. Watch this episode many, many more times because I know Jack and I are. Yeah. Hasta luego.
I'm going to watch it right now.
Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.